Jesus encourages us with these words recorded in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 6, verses 19 through 21. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moths nor rust destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. I think we all understand the importance of making good investments with our resources. We want to use our time and our energy, our money, and to put it into things that are worthwhile, meaningful. Hopefully, that will last and be there for us as time goes on. And I think all of us want to protect our investments. We work hard for what we have, after all. And so the last thing that we want is for something that we have gained that is of great value to begin to diminish in value or to have that somehow taken away. But here's the challenge. If we are not careful, we can become overly obsessed with working to get more and more in order to feel secure. And so the question is, when is enough enough? And I have to confess it's something that I struggle with myself. Wanting to be wise with the way that I use the money and the resources and the finances and the time and the energy that I have. And there's nothing certainly wrong with planning for the future and saving up. In fact, that is a biblical principle. We find many things in the scripture that teach us that we should be wise, that we should work hard, we should save up for the future. Even in the scriptures in the Old Testament, in the Proverbs, it says to consider the ants and how they work hard and then they store up. And there's various illustrations of that in nature and in the scriptures. But here's the thing. If we begin to work so hard for these things, the more that we invest toward these things, our heart begins to become attached to those things. And then we begin to lose sight of what's most important. And so Jesus challenges us and inspires us, though, that if we want to make the wisest investment with our life, our time, our energy, our resources, then we need to do it for something that's beyond this life, that is eternal, and that are things that are made in and for God's kingdom, because it will never end. Luke records a story that Jesus told about a man who didn't know how to balance his life well when it came to making the best use of his resources and his financial gain. And we find it in Luke chapter 12, verses 15 through 21. So I encourage you to look at that, if you would. And I'm not sure what happened to our screen. So hopefully we'll get that worked out. I think we're having some technical difficulties today. But if you would, Luke chapter 12, verse 15 through 21, I encourage you to follow along in your scriptures. I'll be reading from the New International Version, but just follow along with whatever version you have. Then he said to them, "Watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." And he told them this parable. The ground of a certain rich man produced a good crop. And he thought to himself, "Well, what shall I do? I have no place to store my crops." Verse 18, then he said, "I know, this is what I will do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I'll say to myself, 'You have plenty of good things laid up for many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry.'" In other words, I'm going to enjoy retirement. I am looking forward to it. Verse 20, but God said to him, "You fool. This very night, your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself?" Jesus said, "This is how it will be with anyone who stores up things for himself, but is not rich toward God." So again, Jesus says the most secure way that we can invest wisely as we're enjoying our resources. You see, there is a freedom to enjoy the resources and the blessings that we have. God wants us to enjoy them. So this is not to beat people up, make you feel bad if you've been blessed financially or with good health, with time, with resources. That is not what this message is about. God wants you to enjoy what you have. It is a blessing. But he also wants you, as you enjoy it, to employ it, to be a blessing to others, to share, to help them to enjoy it with you. Broaden your scope to help others who have needs. And so this man, Jesus said, had a false sense of security because he had bound it all up in himself. Jesus illustrated this agricultural businessman had totally gotten life out of balance, and the focus was all about himself and his own security. And Jesus said that man was a fool. Now again, there's nothing wrong with saving for the future. I've mentioned that. God wants us to save and to build up and to be responsible. But again, I will say it over and over. As you are taking care of yourself, look around for ways that you can share what you have to help others, and especially to help them to come to know this God who created us and who loves us so much that he gave his best for us through his son, Jesus Christ. Jesus teaches that it is tragic when people are wealthy in this world but poor in the next. So just briefly this morning, three things that we find in scriptures. Because Jesus said we are to lay up treasures in heaven. Well, how do we do that? So we get an answer really in several different scriptures, but the one that I think says it most succinctly is in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 17 through 19. How can we store up treasures in heaven? Well, we find it in these three brief verses of scripture. The Apostle Paul is writing to Timothy here under the leadership of the Holy Spirit, and he says this: command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth. There it is. That is the key. Where are you putting your hope? Are you using wealth as a way to make yourself feel secure, or are you using it as an investment into the things of the kingdom of God? Not to be arrogant, to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in who? In God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. There it is. Do you see that? God doesn't give begrudgingly and to say, well, yeah, I hope you really appreciate this, and if you don't use it for others, I'm just going to beat you up. No, he has blessed it. He wants you to enjoy it. He has given us this for our enjoyment. But just don't be selfish with it. And then he goes on and he says, the Apostle Paul says in verse 18, command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. In this way, here it is, they will lay up treasures in for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life. Now hear me clearly. This is not teaching, nor am I saying that you can work your way into heaven. This is not about doing enough good deeds that somehow you earn eternal life. That is not what the scripture is teaching. In fact, over and over, the scriptures teach us that we cannot earn our way into heaven. We cannot do enough good works to merit heaven. We can enter into heaven only by the grace of God demonstrated through his gift, the gift to us of his son, Jesus Christ, through Christ's life, death, atoning death on the cross, and then his glorious and powerful resurrection. The Bible says, by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, not of works, so that no one can boast. So hear me clearly, I'm not talking now about doing good deeds and being generous and sharing so that you can somehow catch hold of eternal life and earn it. That's not what he's saying. But what the Apostle Paul is meaning here is that as we learn to receive the gift of Christ and we learn to begin to share and to do his kingdom work and to be generous, then we're really going to catch hold of what eternal life is all about. We're reflecting the love of God poured out within us and through us. So number one, the first way that you can begin to lay up treasures in heaven is the most obvious, and that is to invest yourself in Jesus Christ. Give your life over to him. Give your soul, your spirit to him. Jesus said, what does it really profit a person if they gain the whole world and yet lose their own soul? Your soul is the most valuable treasure that you have. It is who you are. And God offers you the gift of eternal life and forgiveness and a home in heaven through the person and work of his son, Jesus Christ. And so where you begin to lay up treasure in heaven is to invest yourself, give your heart, your soul, your life to Christ. Receive him into your life. Desire to have him fill you with his spirit and then learn to begin to live in the way that he wants you to live as a result of his grace. If you begin by giving yourself to Christ, that's wonderful. That's the first way, again, that's how you enter into eternal life and you have that hope of heaven, is when you give your life to Christ. But then you can begin to develop in your growth and in your spiritual maturity by the time that you invest to learn Christ's teaching. That's what a disciple is. It's what Jesus meant when he said, go into all the world, baptizing in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things. He said, I want you to go into all the world and make disciples. So it begins with that decision to invest yourself in Christ, but then it continues as you seek to learn his will and his word and his ways. And if you are not investing the time that God has granted you in learning more about his word and how he would have you live, then you're missing out on reaching your full potential. There's another thing that we miss out on, because when we don't fully employ Christ's teaching in our life, we're missing out on the benefit of helping share the good news of Christ with others. And if they will hear the gospel and they trust in Christ and they then receive that gift and they in turn are able to go to heaven as a result of you sharing the gospel, that's a wonderful way that you're laying up a treasure in heaven, not only for yourself, but those that you have benefited by giving into the work of the gospel, by sharing of yourself in the work of the gospel. Those that have come to know Christ as a result of your contributing, your efforts, your work, we share eternity with them. What a beautiful treasure. So it all begins there. Remember, Jesus said, lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. It's interesting because we can think naturally, well, where our heart is, that's really where our treasure is going to be, because we're going to invest where our heart is. But Jesus really wants to use this as kind of a gut check, so to speak, a point of really looking at ourselves. He says, where your treasure is, that truly shows where your heart is. So, you know, there's many people that come to church, and they can say, oh, yes, I love God. And, oh, yes, I go to church. Oh, yes, I help out here, I help out there. But if somebody were to look into your bank account, into your wallet, or again, into your all of your savings account and banking accounts, and they see where your money goes, that's probably going to be more of an indicator where your heart is. And Jesus calls us on it. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be. So we need to examine ourselves and say, okay, God, help me to not even deceive myself, but help me to truly look at myself and what you want for my life and how you want me to be investing in the things of the kingdom. Because when you begin to invest in that, your heart's going to be drawn to it. But it begins with a choice on your part. Number two, the second thing that we see in this scripture in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 18, is he says to be rich in good deeds. That's another way that you can lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. The kind of good deeds that God wants us to do are the things and how we live our lives and how we treat others that help others to come to know the love of God through Christ Jesus. Because you and I are representatives of Christ here on earth. As I mentioned in the prayer a few moments ago, if you've trusted Christ with your life, if you've invited him to come into your soul and your spirit, then whatever you do and wherever you go, you are carrying his Holy Spirit within you. And so he wants you to be able to reflect that with others. And we can do that with the way that we treat others, how you work at your job or in your career, how you treat your neighbors, how you treat your family, how you serve in the church. When you invite a family member or a coworker or a neighbor to church where they can hear the word of God and they hear the gospel being presented, and then they trust Christ as their Savior, what a wonderful gift that is. And if you've had a part in that, that is a way, again, that you've laid up a treasure in heaven, not just because of kind of a reward that God will reward you with, but when Christ's kingdom comes into its full completion, we can rejoice together with others that we have helped to lead to Christ. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 says this, "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in or in advance for us to do." So what is it that God would have you specifically to do? Because there are people that you will be able to reach and connect with that I cannot. God has given you your personality, your experiences, your relationships. There are many more people that you're going to be able to reach in your circle of friends and work and neighborhoods than I'm able to do. But collectively, if all of us do our part, then we can see the gospel spread. Thirdly, be generous and willing to share. So the second part of 1 Timothy 6:18 gives us that third part of laying up a treasure in heaven. Be generous and willing to share. Invest your money, your resources, your energy into the things of God's kingdom. In fact, we see this in Matthew chapter 10, verses 41 and 42. Jesus says this, "Whoever welcomes a prophet as a prophet will receive a prophet's reward." Now, think about that for a moment. Just think about this. What did Jesus say? You don't have to be a prophet. So whatever your spiritual gift is, and God gives us all different spiritual gifts, but if you acknowledge someone who's doing work for the kingdom in whatever way they are, and you come alongside to support them, you receive a reward like they do. Notice here, whoever welcomes a prophet as a prophet, they'll receive a prophet's reward. That sounds like a pretty good deal to me. That sounds like a pretty good return on investment. And then he says, whoever welcomes a righteous person as a righteous person will receive a righteous person's reward. Now, we understand the scripture teaches us that our righteousness, our good deeds that we try to do in our own without the help of the Holy Spirit, that's like filthy rags. But when you receive the righteousness of Christ through his Holy Spirit and what he's done and provided for us, and then we share that with others, we can look forward to a righteous person's reward all through the blessing and the strength and the presence of Christ. And then look at this, no matter how small, whatever deed you do, doesn't have to be the great grand things that notice or that everybody's attention is drawn to. If anyone gives a cup of cold water to one of these little ones who is my disciple, truly I tell you, that person will certainly not lose their reward. Jesus talks about rewards that we will receive in his eternal kingdom based on what we do here and now. The investing that we do here and now, this is the time, and then we will reap the rewards and the benefits later. When Jesus uses the phrase, these little ones who is my disciple, he's not being condescending. And he's not talking only about little children. He's talking about individuals who are young in their faith, young in their walk with him and their discipleship. They're not as mature, so they're little ones. They're developing, they're maturing. And anything we can do to help those who are developing and maturing in their faith, no matter what age they are, if they're small children, if they're teenagers, if they're adults, if there are some of you here this morning that didn't grow up in church, and maybe you're feeling like you're behind the curve a little bit, and I've had some conversations with people like that, I want you to know you're why we do what we do. We want you to grow in your faith. We want to help you. We want to encourage you. So in whatever small way or great way we can do, like giving that cup of cold water to you, we want you to grow and mature in your faith. And the local church hear this, the local church is the instrument that God uses to make a difference in people's lives. We're not under Old Testament law anymore. Christ has fulfilled all that. We're under a new covenant now in Christ. But there are principles that we can learn from the Old Testament that show us how to conduct ourselves in relationship to God and to each other. And one of those principles in the Old Testament was the tithe, bringing in a tenth, the first of their produce, into the temple in Jerusalem. And the reason that was done is because those sacrifices that were brought in, some of them, yes, were burnt offerings that were totally consumed in the fire and burnt, but there were many of those offerings that were brought in that were shared by the people who were doing the work in the temple on behalf of the people, and also the people got to share in some of those sacrifices. And if you remember, the principle of the tithe is one-tenth, and it was to be the first one-tenth of people's produce and income. I shared this last week, and give you that imagery. Some people literally, they would put up a gate, and as the animals would pass under, they'd have a rod, and the first animal that went through, they'd mark it. There's one for God, and then here's nine for me. One for God, nine for me. And yet today, when we talk about the principle of the tithe, people get so uncomfortable. I just can't believe that God would ask for a tenth. Really? One for God, nine for me. Doesn't sound like a selfish God. He is teaching us a principle, though, to honor him first with the first fruits, and then he will continue to help us in many ways in life, not only financially, but with his strength and his blessing. So this principle of the tithe, I come back to today in the local church. There are many wonderful parachurch organizations. My wife and I support some of them, and we support them not only with how we give financially, but how we want to come alongside and serve in whatever ways we can. And I have learned, I love listening to many pastors who have television ministries and radio ministries. I enjoy just listening to good teaching from the Word of God, no matter where it comes from. If it is led of the Spirit and it enriches my soul, I want to listen and learn. But hear me, and if that's you, that's great. And if you want to contribute to that, that's great. But here's what you need to consider. Don't forget the work of the local church, because when you are sick in the hospital, it will not be that TV pastor or that radio pastor that comes to visit you or your family. It will not be a person from that organization that comes and visits you in the hospital or conducts a funeral service. This is not to puff me up. This is not talking about our deacons. This is a principle, and you'll know in your heart if what I'm telling you is true. I can't do it all, and I know I can't do it all. Neither can Pastor Eric or Pastor Adam or our staff. But God has placed us here to minister in this community. And we see that as we read the New Testament scriptures, it is the local church through whom God's word ministers in communities. Amen? So if we neglect supporting the work of the local church with our finances, our time, our energy, who's going to do it? So as we think about as a church here at Porterfield, I am grateful for all of you who have given so faithfully and sacrificially over the years. It's what has helped us to get to this point now. But we have many more things that we would like to do for God's kingdom work right here in the Mid-Ohio Valley. We want to impact lives for Christ, that they might experience his life change. So consider as you invest yourself in Christ first and foremost, and as you look for ways to get involved and to be rich in good deeds, whether it's serving here at church or serving in the community through Belpre Area Ministries, through the Women's Care Center, the many missional outreaches that we do here locally, but they don't stop here. They go on throughout this nation and around the world with missionaries that we support. Consider how God would have you to invest, to be generous and willing to share so that we can continue this legacy of faith. It's not about how much you give. It's about the motivation that you give, because God knows your heart. And Jesus again promises that if we will be faithful in giving to him, he will take care of us. I remind you of these words that Christ spoke in Luke chapter 6, verse 38, and you'll see it on the screen. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For For with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. So how can we lay up treasures in heaven, make wise investments, the wisest investment with our life? Invest yourself first in Christ, be rich in good deeds, be generous and willing to share. As you do it for the work of Christ's kingdom here on earth. There was a man and a woman hiking on a seldom-used trail in Nevada's Amargosa Desert, and it was an extremely hot day, and they had used up their water supply. They thought they had brought enough, but they didn't plan quite well enough, and they were really concerned. But thankfully, they came upon an old pump sticking up out of the ground that was near one of the trails that they were walking on, and there was a tin baking powder can wired to the handle of the pump. And so they opened it up and they found a note inside. And this is what the note said. This pump works, but the washer dries out and the pump has to be primed. Under the white rock, I buried a canteen of water. There's enough water in it to prime the pump, but not if you drink some first. Pour about 1/4 into the pump and let her soak to wet the leather. Then pour in the rest medium fast and pump like crazy. You'll get water. The well has never run dry. Have faith. When you get watered up, fill the canteen and put it back like you found it for the next feller. P.S. Don't go drinking the water first. Prime the pump with it, and you'll get all you can hold. This principle of taking the blessings that God has given us and then putting it back into the work of God's kingdom, that's like priming the pump. Don't use up all the blessing and then have nothing left over. Take the first part of what God has blessed you with, put it into God's kingdom, and he has promised it'll prime the pump of blessing in your life in many different areas. And you will have enough not only for you, but for others who follow. Rick Easel writes in his devotional, The 1 Minute Uplift, that this story that I just shared with you shares an important principle. He calls it the principle of before, and I like it, and that's what I want to close with today. He says, there are battles before victory, and there are struggles before celebration, and there are steps before arrivals, and there is practice before perfection. And there's preparation before completion. And there is planting before harvesting. We have to have the faith to practice this principle of before. Some of you here today may say, well, Mark, I feel like I don't have much. God understands. Just trust him enough to share of what you have and see if he won't take the struggle that you're going through now. Remember the principle of before. You take those steps and God will walk you through it and get you on the other side, and you will begin to receive the rewards and the benefits. This is not about a Naaman and Claiborne. It's not about a prosperity gospel. It is about a principle of spiritual living that Jesus has taught us. And he challenges us, and it is challenging, folks, because it speaks to me, he challenges me every day. But he challenges us, and he wants to inspire us to put it into practice. The question is, will we do it? Would you stand? Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity today to look into your word, to be challenged, to be encouraged, and hopefully, Lord, to be inspired. Help us, Lord, to give generously, to share what we have. And I thank you, Lord, that you have given to us so generously your grace and your love through your Son, Christ. Help us to reflect that in all that we do and with all that we come into contact with, that others might see your love and grace at work and they would be drawn to you, and that we can enjoy not only our rich inheritance, but the rich reward that awaits us as we have put your word into practice and trusted the greatest gift that you've given to anyone and to each of us, the gift of Christ. For it's in your name that we pray. Amen.